Welcome to Kingdom City Church's prophetic radio broadcast with Prophet Brian Karn. Enjoy today's message.
Verse 31 through 35. Come on, let's read it, everybody, aloud together. What does it say? And when the Lord saw that Leah was hated, he opened her womb. And Leah conceived and bare a son. And she called. Y'all took a while to get there. It's not. Screen went out. I'm at 32. And Leah conceived and bare a son. And she called his name what? And she conceived again and bare a son and said, because the Lord hath heard that I was hated, he hath therefore given me this son also. And she called his name Simeon. And she conceived again and bare a son and said, now this time will my husband be joined unto me, because I have borne him three sons. Therefore was his name called Levi. And she conceived again and bare a son. And she said, now will I praise the Lord. Therefore she called his name Judah and left bearing. You may be seated in the presence of the Lord. Somebody shout hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
Say it again. Shout hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
Amen. We're grateful to the Lord for his faithfulness toward us and for what God is about to do in this place all day today. Amen. I don't know if you recognize it or not, but we are living in an hour and a time now where too many people are not committed to anything. I mean, we start things, but most of the things that we start, especially coming into 2020, we're always, every time we come into a new year, we make all these New Year's resolutions. All these things that we promise, including myself, all these things that we promise that we're going to do, things that we say we're going to do. But when you look at the time, it seems like time is waiting on nobody. And if you look at the time, sooner or later, everything that you said you were going to do, you found yourself not having completed anything that you said you were going to do. Of course, you understand the story of this man by the name of Jacob. We love Jacob in the scripture. Jacob is a man who is extremely adamant about getting what he wants. This text starts off with a woman by the name of Leah. And it tells us basically through this story, as I continue to read or as I continue to get into this, it shows us that Leah was given to Jacob basically as a consolation prize. It is not what he initially wanted. The Bible declares that Jacob experienced something that people really don't believe you can have, but the Bible teaches us that it's possible. He had love at first sight. The scripture declares that he saw Rachel, and the minute he saw her, he loved her. In those days, you didn't just go find a woman and go get her and talk to her. We understand the culture of that day. If you wanted a young lady, you had to have a conversation with her father. He went to the father and said, my God, my God, my God. He said, I want your daughter. I want a bad, I'm desperate for, and whatever it takes for me to have her, I'm willing to do it. And the scripture lets us know that that old daddy Laban said, what you got to do if you want my daughter is you're going to have to work for me for 7 years. That's a long time. Amen. You know, we would have gave up after about 7 weeks, 7 days. Come on. But he said, if you want my daughter, I want you to work for how long? 7 years. And so he did that. He worked for 7 years. And at the end of his 7 years, he got ready to claim the woman that he desired, got ready to go after her. He said, I've done all the time I'm supposed to do. I've committed myself. I worked. I was faithful. He worked for 7 years. Look at how committed he was. Can you imagine for 7 years slaving and working and being disciplined. This woman is in front of you because he's not just working, but he's working for her father. So for 7 years, working for her father, committed, being faithful, being dedicated, not looking back. We don't know what kind of labor Laban put him through, but you do know in those days, the kind of work they were doing now, the kind of work we do now is nothing compared to the work that they were doing. I mean, they're cleaning up cow pooping and sheep mess and all that, but whatever it is, he's been faithful, he's been committed, and at the end, he doesn't get who he wants. Because you know that daddy, Laban, is a trickster.
That's right.
You know, tricking is all in his blood. Y'all know that, don't you? Yeah, it's all in his blood. Y'all ain't never met no tricksters before. So here go Laban, ends up giving him the other daughter. He gives her the sister. And I'm not trying to be funny, but Leah was the other, you know, the other. You know how you got the family where everybody pretty but one? Come on, y'all ain't gonna be honest. You know, y'all ain't gonna be honest. But that's what Leah was. Leah was, somebody shout, the other one. Yeah, she was the other sister. And the text lets us know that one reason that nobody really was going after Leah is the scripture declared she was soft-eyed. You know what that means. She had an eye that was tangled up. She had an eye that was a little weak and discouraged. Wasn't focused. When she would look at him, she didn't know who she was looking at. Nobody wanted Leah. She wasn't all fine. She wasn't very attractive. She wasn't curvaceous. She wasn't voluptuous. She wasn't all that. But don't laugh at her, because just because somebody doesn't meet your mold don't mean that they're not who God's going to use. And initially, everybody's looking at her from the outside and they see her. They say, she ain't all that. Of course, she's the one that everybody looks over. She got the fine sister. She got the sister that's all that. Rachel, she's fine. She's gorgeous. She's whatever man wants her. But she's the one that everybody looks over. She's not attractive. She's not all that fine. You don't know who she's looking at. Come on. Hallelujah. Nevertheless, bless the Lord, something is powerful on her life. Amen. She wasn't all that, but one thing she was is she was blessed. Lay hands on yourself. Say, I am blessed. Now, this is powerful to me, because the text starts off saying that when God saw that she was hated, he opened her womb. Y'all don't understand that. See, people don't even understand, when they don't like you, God looks at that, and because they don't like you, he bless you. That's a good place for you to shout. What am I trying to tell you? If your enemies understood that them hating on you made God bless you, they will stop hating on you, because their hating is what's causing him to bless. Look at somebody and say, the more you talk about me, the more he gonna bless me. The more you put me down, the more he gonna raise me up. The more you try to destroy me, the more he gonna take me places that you never met. Lay hands on yourself and say, I'm blessed. He blessed her because they hated her. The scripture declares that when he saw that she was hated, he opened her womb. Now you got to understand what Leah's dealing with, because Leah knows that she is not who Jacob wants. So can you imagine the low self-esteem of being married to a man that didn't want you? Your father kind of gave you away. You understand? You know, the scripture lets us know that in those days, somebody say, how in the world he didn't know that was her? Because in those days, when they would go in a room to consummate the marriage, wasn't no lights. Dark in there. I'm sure had he looked at her one good time with the lights on, he said, Lord, I've been deceived. Come on, church. Don't come on now. Don't sit up there and be lying. Don't be laughing at Jacob. Because some of y'all went to bed with somebody and woke up and found out you was deceived. Okay? Lord, how in the world I done got into bed with this one? Lord, they done tricked me. Lord, how in the world I got tangled up with this one? By the morning, she woke up. Jacob recognized that I'm married to somebody that I don't want. She's by herself. She's all alone. She's committed to a man who does not want her. She's in a tough season. She's pleasing her daddy and putting up with somebody, looking at her sister, knowing that the only reason he's with me is because he's trying to get to Rachel. Because the father says to him, if you give me 7 more years, I'll end up giving you Rachel. Can you imagine how tough it is to know that the man you're married to, you will only be with for the next 7 years? Because as soon as his 7-year time is up, he's leaving you and going to the one he initially wanted. As a result of this union, 4 sons are born. Somebody shout, 4 sons are born. The first son that's born is a son by the name of who? Reuben. That's the first son. But she ends up having another son. And the second son that is born is a son named what? Simeon. You see that? But then she didn't just stop there. She had another son by the name of what? Levi. And then they end up having one more son, which is somebody who we love to talk about, but that's not who we're going to deal with today. End up having another son by the name of what? Judah. And all of these sons, they're there for a reason. Oh, can I preach this today? All of these sons, they are there for a reason. The text told you in Genesis chapter 29, it lets you know in verse 32, and Leah conceived and bare a son, and she called his name Reuben. When she called his name Reuben, he said, Lord, he's seen my affliction, he's seen what I'm going through, and because of this, Jacob has seen what I'm going through. God, you're going to give me a son. So Reuben means to see. But then you had another son by the name of Simeon. And when you look at Simeon, Simeon said, maybe when he hears what I've been through, he'll give me another son. So there you go again. You got Simeon. But then you had another son by the name of Levi. And Levi means to be joined. It means to be connected. Come on. It means to be committed. It means that maybe after I have this son, I mean, you think for sure after I done had his third baby, for sure we'll be connected. By now, that's the fourth son. But then third son. But then you get to the fourth son, and that son name is what? Judah. And when you got to Judah, she said, now will I praise the Lord, because it took her a while to be able to get to the place of praise, because basically what Leah is saying now, I put away my fears. I don't care if he sees me. I don't care if he hears me. I don't care if he's connected to me. No matter what, I put away my fears, and I made a decision that whether you accept me or not, I'm still going to praise the Lord. But it took time for him to get there. Can we go deeper into this? I say, can we go deeper than this? When you understand the 4 children of Leah, you understand that all of them have significance. They were not just children that were named. Of course, you understand that those sons that they had end up being a part of the tribes of Israel. we understand that they had significance. They had apostolic significance. There are 12 apostles. There are 12 tribes. There are 12 gates in the book of Jerusalem. You understand. In the book of Revelation, in the city of Jerusalem, you understand that they all have apostolic significance, but they also have prophetic significance. Because the first thing, the child that he had was a son by the name of Reuben. And Reuben means to see. And why am I talking about Reuben? Because what I want to say to you is, you cannot be a believer until you see your old life and be willing to change it. You didn't hear what I just said. I said, you cannot walk into a new place in God until you recognize that I cannot be a Christian because it's what everybody else is doing. I can't become a Christian because it's a new thing, because it's the new fad. I can't even become a Christian through coercion. My family going to church, everybody's going to church, so I might as well go to church. You can't come to church for money. You can't be coming here for wife. You can't be coming for a social club. You can't be here for a gathering, but you got to recognize that my vision is messed up and I need God. Y'all ain't talking to me. Look at somebody say, I need God. I need God. You got to see your life as miserable. We all be honest in here and tell the truth and say, even though you had some fun while you was in the world, the peace that you have now, you never had when you would come on. Y'all better talk to me in here. Tell somebody, my life was a mess. Would you find somebody and be real in here and say, my life was a mess. Yes, I was. And come on, I need to talk to you, because a lot of time you think that because you was not a hoe chasing, free basing, whiskey nipping, cocaine sniffing, pill pumping, weed chopping, tobacco chewing, cigarette sucking, pipe puffing, skirt chasing, midnight rambling, big old gambling devil. That's a lot of stuff. A lot of y'all think that because you was none of that, you was all right. But you were hateful. You were conniving. We love to talk about the sins of the flesh, but what about the sins of the heart? The heart is desperately wicked and deceitful above all things. Come on, I wasn't no hoe, but I was nasty. Come on, talk to me. Y'all better talk back to me in here. Come on, I didn't go to clubs, praise God, but I did stuff that folk in the club do. Come on, I wasn't getting high out in the streets, but I sure had me a pipe at my house. Come on, some of y'all were good, you just knew how to cover it up. But I thank God that I saw that I needed a savior, and you won't change until you see that you messed up. You gotta see that, because if you never recognize and see that you messed up, guess what you're gonna do? You're gonna keep on doing what you're doing. Would you look at somebody left and the right and say, I gotta admit I am messed up? You gotta recognize that. You gotta recognize you can't be getting saved because everybody else getting saved. You can't be coming to church because everybody else coming to church. Come on. You can't just be jumping and shouting. You got to recognize that I got some problems in my life. I'm experiencing some things in my life that I don't want to experience. And the only way that I'm going to get to my next level is I got to be willing to recognize that I need, lay hands on yourself and say, I need a change. But the second son was a son by the name of, somebody shout, Reuben. Oh, you said that like you're Presbyterian. Try it again. Somebody shout, Reuben. Reuben is the second son. Hallelujah. And when you deal with Reuben, I'm sorry. Who I told y'all next? Simeon. That's right. Simeon is the second son. And Simeon means to what? To hear. How many people know that if there's going to be any change in your life, you first got to hear the word? And a lot of people come to church, but while they're in church, their mind is on Walmart. Their mind is on where they got to go next year. Their mind is looking at their car. Come on, talk back to me. Let's be real in here. But the truth of the matter is, if there's going to be any kind of change in your life, tell somebody, you got to hear the word. The reason you are not changing is because faith doesn't come by shouting. Faith doesn't come by dancing. Faith doesn't come by running and dancing and screaming and falling all over the church and you full of the devil. Faith comes by, y'all don't know your Bible, faith comes by hearing, and hearing the word of God. What are you saying? When I got God's word on a matter, when God has given me a promise concerning something, there's a confidence that I have. See, when God tells me something, it's like God's writing me a check. Whenever
Whenever you read something in your Bible and the word of God say, but he was wounded for my transgressions, bruised for my iniquity, the chastisement of my peace was upon his shoulder, and with his stripes I am healed. Lay hands on yourself and say, I'm healed. I'm healed. Come on. Now, how do you know you're here? It may not manifest right now in my body, but I got a word on it. I got a promise on it. I got a covenant on it. And the covenant says that I'm here. You understand when you go to the car dealership, the minute you walk into the car dealership, praise God, you may not have the money on you, but when you write that check means that even though this is a piece of paper, there's something behind this paper. When God gives you a promise, you're not just reading a book, but you're reading a book that is full of promises of a man who don't tell no lies. He said in Numbers 23:19, God is not a man that he should lie. Y'all better talk to me in here. So how do I know when you're walking in faith? Because the minute you believe what God said in his word, you begin to tailor your behavior like God's gonna do what he said he's gonna do. Ain't got the house, but I got a word that he's gonna give it to me. So I'm gonna pack my bags where I'm at, because I know where I am. I won't be here for long. Shake somebody next to you and tell them, I believe God. Because faith cometh by. Come on, say, faith cometh by. You know, every kind of word is not able to save you. The Bible says his engrafted word. Oh, I wish I had time I could get into that. But somebody say engrafted word. That means, amen. That means that every word don't save, only the word that sticks. See, some of you coming in, you hear the word, but it don't stick with you. Psalm 119:11, thy word have I what? Yeah, you got to hide that word in your heart so that you won't sin against it. See, you can hear every word. You can hear the preacher preaching. You can dance. You can run. You can shout. You can say, ooh, that was a good word. But out of everything that I'm preaching, something I say is what's going to stick. And that's why it's not enough just to hear the word one time. Because the more you hear it, the more that word will begin to stick in your spirit. That's why you got to get in it. Come on. Look at somebody. Say, get in your Bible. Get in your Bible. Get in your Bible. You know, I don't know if y'all ever heard of a skin graft. But a skin graft is when they take, glory to God, the skin from one piece of your body and on another place of your body where skin is missing, they take that skin and put it on that part of your body. What am I telling you? I'm telling you that this word is skin, but you have another spiritual skin. And when you take that word and apply it, it's like taking the skin from the word and putting it on that issue in your life that needs deliverance. And when that word gets grafted in, that thing that could nobody change, the word has the power to change your situation. Look at somebody and say, you need a word graph. Come on, don't be scared. Tell somebody else, you need a word graph. See, you don't understand that. What does that mean? That means if you're in a family, if you're in a family where everybody mean, that means you got mean skin. Come on. Everybody nasty, everybody ugly, everybody unforgiving. Come on, come on. That's everybody. Your mama nasty, your grandma nasty, your brothers and sisters nasty. Everybody mean, everybody got a bad temper. Guess what? When you take that word, come on, and graft it in that area of your life, the testimony will be, now ain't nobody in my family nice but me. You ain't saying that. Why? Because I got a word on it. God changed me. And if any man be in Christ, he is a what? Come on, your testimony gonna be, ain't nobody rich but me. Everybody's struggling, but I ain't struggling because I'm different. I got new skin. I got a word on this situation. What am I trying to tell you? If you see a flaw in your character, you can grasp it right there. When the word, when I see a problem, how many of y'all gonna be honest and recognize that your family got issues? How many of y'all gonna be honest
and admit that you inherited some of them issues.
Yes, sir.
And you get mad when you see them doing certain things, saying, I can't stand that. And you look at yourself in a couple of years, and everything you said you can't stand, you doing, come on, talk to me, the same thing. So what you got to do? Get the word and grab it there. But can I go deeper? If I take my skin from my thigh and put it on my back, the skin does not come together perfectly in one day. And some of you begin to think that there's no change in your life because you don't see it happen. If you done had a devil for 40 years, I don't care who lay hands on you, it's going to take more than somebody touching you for that thing to get woven out of your personality. See, some of these demons that y'all won't cast out, they're not going to be cast out because some of y'all have played with these things for so long that it has become interwoven in your personality. And the only way that thing is going to be broken is you got to renew your mind. And the renewing of the mind don't take a day. It don't take a year. Come on now. The Bible said, be not conformed to this world, but be you transformed by the, by the, by the. Tell your neighbor, I'm still renewing my mind on some stuff. You know, one of the hardest things, I'm almost done. Well, I ain't going to get it. I'm going to have to finish the next service. One of the hardest things to do is rid your mind of the teachings of people who you feel like really had your best interests at heart. Because they may have meant well, but they were sincerely wrong. And you got to be willing to say, I know my mama wouldn't tell me nothing wrong. Your mama meant well, but your mama only told you what she knew. I was hearing somebody, I heard Oprah a long time ago. I heard Oprah talking about her mama and how her mama was very hard and her mama never loved her like she needed to be loved and all that stuff. That's what she talked about. And I heard Bishop Jake say something to her that was real profound. He said, Oprah, the reason you got to forgive your mama is, he said, your capacity to receive love is at 10 gallons. He said, but your mama, because of what she experienced, only know how to give love from a pint. And if you're expecting a pint to fill 10 gallons, you're going to always find yourself empty because you're expecting somebody to give you a love that they never experience. That's powerful.
Thank you for listening to the Prophetic Radio Broadcast with Prophet Brian Karn. We invite you to join us at a Kingdom City church near you. Come worship with us at KCC Jacks in Jacksonville, Florida, every Sunday at 8 a.m. or 10 a.m. and Thursdays and Fridays at 7 p.m. at 2104 North Main Street, Jacksonville, Florida, or at KCC Charlotte in Charlotte, North Carolina. For more information on our services, text the word Kingdom City, which is all one word, to the number 22828. That's Kingdom City to 22828. Or call 1-833-522-5433. You can also visit us online at kcccharlotte.org, kccjacks.org, or briankarn.com for more information and to sow a seed into the ministry. More grace, we're excited about your future.